You're listening to SpursCast, episode 633. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Benjamin Bornstein. In this episode, Ben and I will discuss the Spurs waiving Lucas Simonic, more preseason observations, and the state of the team roster. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well myself. You know, this is not really some surprising news, but it was a little bit unique that this news that Lucas Simonic was waived by the team on a Monday. So let's go ahead and jump right into that topic, Ben. So as we just mentioned, you know, the Spurs did waive Simonic on Monday. On paper, this kind of did it looked like a surprising move. Reason why I say that is because, like, when you look just at Simonic on the roster, he's just 21 years old. The Spurs could have, exercised the team option to keep him on the roster for next season. And then in 23-24, they could have actually made him a restricted free agent. So in terms of the long-term outlook, it looked like, you know, why would they make this decision? When you look at the eye test, though, and what Coach Pop's rotations have been, it just wasn't working out for Luka. Doug McDermott is the starter right now at the four. Then sometimes Pop plays small, so he brings Devin Vassell in as the backup four. If he wants to play more traditional, then he's bringing in Thaddeus Young as that secondary four. And then lastly, we've even been seeing Keita Bates-Jobb getting minutes ahead of Lucas Simonic here in the rotation throughout most of these preseason games. The only time where Luka played a lot of minutes was in that starting game where he started against the Miami Heat. We also know that the Spurs need to make some roster cuts here. They need to either waive or trade, one more player now. It was two players now that Luka's off the team, and they actually have 6 days to make that decision. Ben and I will get into that in a little bit here. Luka still gets his $2.9 million guaranteed salary. If another team claims him off the waiver list by Wednesday, then his salary of $2.9 million will no longer be on the Spurs' books. It'll go. He'll be a fully guaranteed player to that other team if they were to again waive. Pick him up off the waiver list. So Ben, here's my first question to you. Were you surprised or did you expect this?
I was a little surprised. I thought they were going to give him another year, but I don't know, the way their offseason signings went, this was kind of being foreshadowed. I mean, they went out and they knew that they were going to have issues at the four and five, and they went out and tried to shore that up. They got Thad Young. They got Zach Collins, who won't be available immediately, but will be available down the road, probably around Christmas time. They got Doug McDermott, Dougie McBuckets, my guy. And they got Al-Farouq Aminu, who we're going to talk about this later, but he has potential to get waived as well. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have Keita Bates-Jobb kind of playing four sometimes, and Devin Vassell is able to kind of play a little bit of everything. So he may take some minutes there as well, but Simonic he has some of the tools you want to see, but with him, it's between the ears, man. He he's not all there mentally. He doesn't always give great effort. And frankly, that's why Keldon Johnson has forced the coaches to put him in the lineup. He does all of the little dirty work things that other guys don't want to do. He basically refuses to not get a board that's in his area. He refuses to be denied at the rim. It's just, you know, Simonic has the height, the tools, the athleticism. He has all these things that Keldon Johnson doesn't. And remember, they were picked in the same draft.
Yep. And Luka was ahead of him. 19th.
Luka was 10 picks ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I thought it was going to be reversed. I thought Keldon was going to be the 19th pick and Simonic was going to be the 29th pick. Granted, they still got both those guys anyway, but Keldon Johnson has just made the most of the time he's been given, and he has forced the coach's hands, which is great. Lucas Simonic never really did that. And, you know, a lot of people are going to point to that play against the Magic where he didn't get back on defense and it was, oh, he's being lazy. It's like, first of all, it's a preseason game.
Yeah.
Second of all, what is he going to do? He's going to go run back and he's going to foul the living bejesus out of a guy and potentially get a flagrant. Don't be dumb. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That wasn't a good look by any means. Sure. There's no doubt about that. But also in a preseason game, that's not the stuff you really need to be getting after. So I don't know. It was kind of a weird moment for sure, and a lot of people are saying that's the straw that broke the camel's back, and maybe it was, but there were other times throughout the preseason and throughout previous opportunities where Simonic just didn't give enough effort, and that's not going to be acceptable on a team that's coached by Greg Popovich.
Yeah, no, you made a bunch of great points there. And I think you kind of just, you know, you pretty much wrapped everything up right there. That was perfectly said there. And just, you know, for me, what I was a little bit surprised was, I think what you mentioned in the moves they made this offseason kind of showed that why maybe it wasn't as surprising. So the reason why I say that is because, you know, Rudy Gay has kind of been that backup for the team these last few years. And now that he was off the team, I felt like, okay, this is the year that Simonich will get his chance, that, you know, Rudy's gone from the team. He can now be that backup for it, or maybe even start. And then when you see that they did sign Doug McDermott in the offseason, like you mentioned earlier, they got some other players there. And then just the rotations Pop initially started off with in preseason, it's like, oh, well, you know, the writing's kind of on the wall here. And we kind of discussed this last week on the Spurscast, Stephen Michael and I, and we kind of talked about how this could end up being a Livio Jean Charles situation, where the Spurs took a player in the first round. He had a guaranteed contract just like Luka, and they had to make a roster cut to get the roster down to a certain number, and they ended up waiving him even though he had guaranteed money on his books. And so again, we'll kind of see if maybe another team picks him up on his deal, and that way they have a chance at him, you know, keeping him for this season, maybe giving him more opportunity. But again, I just feel like what Ben said there, you know, the eye test just didn't show it for him, where yes, he has all that potential. He has, you know, a different arsenal of moves and his offensive repertoire. The fact is, though, you know, you got to show that energy, that hustle, and bring it on the defensive end to play for Coach Pop. And that was, like Ben said, you know, Keldon did it a very early part of his career, whereas Luka hasn't done that. And like I mentioned as well, there's been some other players in front of him too. And so this kind of just, you know, worked out this way. And Luka is now, you know, right now he's an unrestricted free agent. But again, we'll see if somebody picks him up before Wednesday. And Ben and I are recording this on a Tuesday. Let's go to our second topic here. And these are just some more observations on the team. I know that Stephen Michael and I did a deep dive on this last week with just two preseason games, but now we actually have four preseason games in the book. So let's first revisit the last two games that the Spurs played in. On Friday, they played Miami at home in San Antonio. They lost 109-105. There was no Jakob Poeltl in this game. The Heat only had eight players, and they were on the second night of a back-to-back. The Spurs fell behind early by 19 points, but they did make it a close game, but Miami ended up closing that game out. Then on Sunday, the Spurs traveled to Orlando and beat the Magic 101-100. The rotation players did a good job in this one. For the first three quarters, they built a very comfortable lead. They actually built the lead up to 18 points in Orlando. Then in the fourth quarter, the Spurs sat down all their starters and rotation players, and they pretty much put their third string players out there, while the Magic actually played a lot of their starters. So the Magic almost made a comeback. But again, we have to look at the two lineups that were there and just keep in mind that it is preseason. And so, Ben, I think now that with four preseason games you know, in the books and just one left here on Friday against Houston, we're kind of seeing some different things here. And so the first thing I want to talk to you about is the rotations. We're kind of seeing this, you know, it's becoming more consistent, where it's going to be DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Keldon Johnson, Doug McDermott, and Jakob Poeltl as Pop starting five. And then off the bench, Coach Pop continues to stagger the minutes of Murray or White, having one of them play the backup point guard role. Then Bryn Forbes at the two, Lonnie at the three, sometimes Vassell at the four, and then Eubanks at the five. And Coach Pop's also been experimenting more so with having Young at the four, Thaddeus Young, and Drew Eubanks at the five. And again, we want to note that Trey Jones is out right now. He got re-injured, according to Coach Pop, just right when he was supposed to make his comeback. He got injured in a 3-on-3 workout, so maybe he ends up being the backup point guard. But for now, I don't think that Pop would throw Trey Jones right into the starting, you know, as the backup point guard immediately in the first game of the regular season next week. So do you think this is kind of the rotation that he's going to go with? And also, what are your thoughts on this rotation?
I don't know if this is going to be the early on starting rotation. I do think having those first five of Murray, White, Keldon, McDermott, Poeltl would be pretty decent spacing. You have two legitimate shooters in Derek White and Doug McDermott, Keldon Johnson, who can hit a three in kind of in his spots. And then you have a great cleanup guy in Poeltl, and of course Murray, who is directing your traffic and kind of, you know, orchestrating your offense, which is what you want. I really do want to see Trey Jones come back healthy and playing backup point guard, because I think you might get in trouble staggering Murray and White, using them with the second unit. I wouldn't mind Derek White playing point guard in the second unit. I think it would give him some latitude to do a little more of what he's capable of doing, and that's driving a little more and getting some pull-ups here and there. But looking at that second rotation, or the second string guys, mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about where 3-point shooting comes from. Vassell can shoot it. He hasn't had the opportunity to shoot in volume yet, which I'm sure he will with that unit. Lonnie Walker, as we know, and as has been discussed on this podcast and the Two Shots podcast, is that he can absolutely go ballistic scoring wise, or he can blow up your offense with terrible decision making. So I'm kind of terrified to see what Lonnie does this year. It's one of those beautiful explosions you can't look away from. But Bryn Forbes is going to be a solid guy. You know what he's going to do night in and night out, and he's a gunner. He can shoot the three, not a problem. You got to get him open, but he'll hit the three when you get him open. And you know, depending on who your backup guy is, Murray or White, you'll see some threes out of them. More so White than Murray, of course. But that's not to say Murray goes higher volume on threes this year. And, you know, I think he's still going to get to his mid range. That's where he's comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I do think something that Spurs fans need to be on the lookout for is a lower percentage of shots coming from the mid range. And I know you were keeping track of this for each of the preseason games. And I did notice that those numbers were kind of consistently below 20-25%. Is that right? As far as amount of shots taken from the mid range.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yep, until they ran into Orlando. And so, yeah, so let's get into that. So just looking at the offense now, you know, they're kind of what we actually, for just in my opinion, just, again, it's preseason data, so we don't want to put too much emphasis on it. But again, it's the only data that we do have at this moment. It kind of surprised me that amongst all preseason teams, they're actually 14th on offense. 104.5 points per 100 is what they're putting up. The pace is kind of, Steven and I discussed this last week. It was a little concerning last week that the Spurs were already showing some signs of not being as fast as they said they were going to play. And actually, it's gotten worse here in the last, you know, as the week has gone on. They're now 27th amongst all preseason teams, and their pace is at 101.13 possessions per 48 minutes. So again, they talked about playing faster, but when you actually watch the game on the court, they're not playing as fast. They're going more so to that half court offense type of sets, and that's not good for this team, which is going to have trouble getting baskets. So I'll go into that into detail, and kind of what you just mentioned there, Ben. You know, in terms of their shot selection, they're doing a better job. They've kind of trimmed down on the paint attempts. Last year they were at 49%. They were getting to the rim. Now they're at 46%. So it's dropped off a little bit here. They've increased their 3-point volume, like we just mentioned there, from 31% a year ago to now 38% right now in the preseason. And then, like you mentioned, Ben, the mid range has gone down from 20% last season to now 16%. Now, something concerning there was that Orlando played a more traditional lineup with Wendell Carter Jr. and Mo Bamba at the 4 and 5. So when the Spurs played a big team like that you know used more traditional lineup, they actually couldn't get to the rim at all. So I mean, not as frequently. So they actually ended up taking, I think, 23% of their shots in that Orlando game were from the mid-range, when San Antonio had done a great job all preseason of staying away from that range. So again, that's something a little concerning to watch. And then something else I just noted, look, going out through the four preseason games, is that you really see DeMar DeRozan gone in the number of free throw attempts. This team just isn't getting as many free throw attempts anymore. We kind of expected that. They just don't have that player who's consistently getting fouled and just getting to the line, you know, for this team to get them, you know, some easy points. And something that Bruno Pastos from Pounding the Rock, you know, he and I went to the game the other night, the Spurs game. We were sitting, you know, watching
watching from the media area. And one thing he noticed was that, you know, almost every single offensive possession for the Spurs in the half court, there's a dribble handoff. There's like three or four in a possession. And so like Bruno just basically asked like the simple question, you know, where is this team going to get their easy points? Getting to the paint is now difficult for them. Getting to the free throw line is now difficult for them. And then if they're not playing quickly and you know, running up and down the court, then if there's no transition buckets, well, then that gets difficult as well. So that's my question to you. What are you seeing on offense, especially, you know, as the regular season does begin next week?
So I think if they're going to continue to have a lot of DHO action, I think what they're hoping for is that they're doing it a lot up top, and yes, you get, you know, they're probably hoping that Poeltl or McDermott or whoever's setting the screen is setting a hard and good enough screen that the point guard is getting a switch. Mm-hmm. I think if they get that switch, they feel more comfortable driving, getting by that big man and getting to where they want to be. So I would imagine with all of that going on, with all the dribble handoffs, they're trying to hunt for mismatches and get to their spots. And if you watch college ball, they have Kansas likes to run this kind of offense where they'll kind of three man weave at the top, handoff, you know, go side to side until they feel that they have a mismatch they like, and then you go straight to a dribble handoff, or your big man comes up, gets the ball, gives you a dribble handoff, gives you the screen, and you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so go ahead.
I think there's opportunity for that, and you know, granted, the defenders in the NBA are much better than they are in college, but if you're getting a handoff to Derek White or Devin Vassell potentially, or Doug McDermott. And, you know, if you're Doug McDermott, you have a small guy on you, I'm shooting over him.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm Doug McDermott, I don't really have a conscience of where I'm shooting, as long as it's not too terribly far beyond the line.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, so that's a good way of looking at it. Maybe they are looking for the mismatches. Bruno and I, we were discussing this. We were just thinking like, it's like their best way of trying to basically make the defense, you know, open some gaps there so they can shoot down the middle and try to attack the defense. They run the pick and roll, but that also, you know, has some difficulty because a lot of teams are just going under them until, you know, DeJounte, Derek White, Keldon, they become, you know, good pull up shooters. The defense are going to continue to go under them on those pick and rolls. And then, you know, defensively, there's not too many concerns, you know, just yet. Again, it's just preseason data, so we don't want to look too much into this, but they're basically 10th amongst teams in preseason numbers here, holding teams to 101 points per 100. You know, and they've had some pretty good defensive quarters. They continue to put out these defensive quarters of holding a team's below 20 points. So again, we want to remind you know, those of you listening that it is preseason. A lot of these teams are missing some of their starters, but again, it's just something that I think defensively the Spurs are right there. You know, teams are you know, in terms of the numbers, they kind of look very similar to last season. So the Spurs are kind of doing what they were doing a little bit last season and keeping that in place. And then the last player I want to discuss, you know, here is just because I've seen his name a few times on Twitter, is Derek White. We know that he's struggling a little bit right now to shoot the basketball. And again, it's just preseason, but he's doing all the right things. You know, he's setting up his teammates on offense. He's making the right plays on defense, just the things that Derek White usually does. And right now, you know, Coach Pop doesn't seem too concerned by his play because he's continued to get the same you know, kind of minutes that he's been getting all preseason. He's continuing to start right next to DeJounte Murray. So again, I don't think that the shooting numbers in preseason are too concerning for the Spurs right now. What are your thoughts on Derek White's play?
Yeah, it's, I mean, this is a guy who's coming off injuries. Mm-hmm. He's got to get in his groove. Shooter's got to shoot, man. You can't be timid in this league. If you're having, you know, a bad stretch, you have to shoot yourself out of it. That's the way these things work. Mm-hmm. So if you're Derek White, just keep shooting, man. If they're good shots, nobody's going to be mad at you. You know, that's how it works. These coaches aren't going to get angry about missed good shots. You know, if you're trying to pull up with a dude with his hand in your face, yeah, we're going to have problems. That's a terrible shot, but you know, you're getting clean looks off screens, or you're getting, you know, mm-hmm. clean looks off whatever action you're running, then they're just not falling. That's different. You can live with those. So, and again, it's preseason. It doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. If anything, it's, this is great that he's missing so many shots. You get it out of the system, and you can say to yourself, all right, that was preseason. I'm done with that. Let's hit some shots.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly can't even remember any years where like I've gone back and looked at individual player shooting numbers in preseason, because all that data goes back to zero when the real season starts here. Exactly. Now, obviously, you know, if it's 10 games into the regular season, 15 games, and Derek White's still struggling, well, then there's some concerns there. That's real data, and that's where you really have to start looking.
And that's where you start to wonder, is there a lingering injury somewhere?
Exactly. So, yeah. So, again, you know, I know that Derek's had a rough preseason shooting the ball, but for now, I think that the Spurs will take him in as they're starting one of their starting guards there in that starting rotation. All right. So our last topic here, Ben, let's just look at some notes and roster updates. There's been a few Austin moves here for the team. They signed and waived Jalen Morris and Denzel Mahoney over the last few days, again, just to get their G League rights so they can add them to the Austin Spurs. They are also supposed to sign Jordan Burns next. And again, probably do the same thing where they waive him just to get his G League rights. The dates to watch, you and I are recording this on a Tuesday, so that means that, and this is October 12th, so that means that there are now 6 days left for the Spurs to either trade or waive one more player on the roster to get to the league minimum of 15 players on guaranteed deals by October 18th. And also, there are 6 days left for the team to sign Lonnie Walker IV to an extension. So now let's just talk quickly about, you know, who gets waived or traded, do we think, you know, with these last 6 days coming down to the wire here. So let's first look at Al Farouq Aminu, who you brought up earlier. You know, he has $10.2 million guaranteed on his deal right now. And, you know, if we look at Luka, how he really wasn't playing in the preseason, Aminu's in an even worse position than that. He's only played Aminu in one preseason game so far out of four. And so right now, you know, you would think that he's the player that's going to be next to get waived. But again, he has a huge salary there, $10.2 million. That's a good, you know, that's a good salary to use in different kind of trades. Exactly. The other player who I look at is probably Keita Bates-Jop. You know, he's getting minutes in these preseason games, but he's like the third or fourth option there at the four off the bench. He's never going to be like, you know, the first or secondary option. And him, you know, if he got waived, just because he has a lower salary, $1.7 million guaranteed. So what are your thoughts on if either of these players get waived or traded?
Yeah, I think ideally you probably want to waive KBD. You want to trade Aminu if you can. Mm-hmm. I think you can get, like you said, that he has a decent size salary that can get matched somewhere else or by someone else, or a team sends you cash and a pick back or something. So, which is going to be more than whatever a team can give you for Keita Bates-Jop, despite him being potentially third or fourth in your rotation. But then that just makes room for Aminu, who's a fine player. So it's not too much of an issue. I really want to see Aminu get traded, and this is something from much further down the line, but I want to see Thad Young get good minutes throughout the season, and then he becomes potential trade bait at the deadline when, you know, the teams who realize they're contending think to themselves, okay, what can we do to put ourselves over the top? Let's get a forward like Thad Young who can really help us. He's good locker room presence, good player. You know, he's not going to give us any issues. And he's not expensive, but he has enough of a salary that, you know, we can trade him away and we'll get value somewhere. So I think hopefully the Spurs can be sellers at the deadline in that regard, at least with Thad Young's contract. But if I'm them, probably waiving Keita Bates-Jop, maybe trying to get him on the Austin team as well. And kind of fill out your roster there again, because that's only $1.7 million. It's chump change at this point. And frankly, so is Samanich's contract. So, if that gets taken off because he doesn't clear waiver, someone claims him, great, even better. That's slightly more cap space the Spurs have to work with now, this season, rather than waiting for the summer for it to come off the books. But, you know, kind of depending on what else they do, they could be pretty open with their book next summer.
Yeah. I would just say what you brought up there was a good point here. There was that I think that with Luka getting waived now, I think it makes it more likely that they don't trade Thaddeus Young before this October 18th deadline. I think that you're right. I think they take him into the season. There's some signs there. The fact that Luka's now gone, they just got to waive one more player. And then the other fact is that, like I said, Thaddeus Young is getting minutes here. Pop is trying to include him in the rotation off the bench. So I think that, yes, I think that they're going to go into the season right now from what all things look like they are going to add Thaddeus Young to part of this rotation. And then, you know, try and keep him up until, you know, at some point during the season, maybe, like you said, a contender reaches out and says, you know, maybe a first round pick for him. Who knows what they would offer up until that February 10th trade deadline. So again, we'll kind of see what happens with this roster. There's 6 days left for the Spurs to get their roster down to 15 players on guaranteed contracts. All right. So thanks to Ben for joining me here on this episode. Don't forget to visit projectspurs.com, Spurscast listeners. We have recaps, analysis, and observations coming for the preseason games and also the regular season, which begins next week. The databases that I create are coming. They're on their way. The shot location box score is available right now. And then, so thanks again to Ben for joining me here on the Spurscast and to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.